Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Ruben Nava along with Jesse Romero. Two-man car. We are 10-8. Looking forward to bringing you some teachings on the traditional Latin Mass. And we have a very good article from Father John Perricone. He's a professor. He's talking about the Post Traditionis Custodes. That's the motu proprio by Pope Francis and his take on it. And he's saying it's not a setback. It's not a defeat. It's just a setback, not a defeat. Jesse, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm too blessed to be stressed, Ruben. I was here last night at a packed church.
Oh, boy.
It was, praise God.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody who came last night. It was a feast of St. Michael, Michael Mass, and I gave a talk on St. Michael the Archangel. From real Catholic sources, I tried to go deep, you know, give things that most Catholics haven't heard before.
Right.
And I think it went well. I mean, it was jam-packed last night.
Standing room only, yeah. So I was here, and I saw a lot of familiar faces. I had saw law enforcement friends of mine that were here.
Yeah, you and Eddie Brock gave a little talk on your relationship with the angels, Saint Michael. Also,
yeah, I just shared three stories off the top of my head where I know, in fact, Saint Michael was there to save me, to protect me, and that was a. I had to honor St. Michael, and that was why I felt maybe people need to hear those stories, because I lived it, you know, and I lived it with I carried around a St. Michael medal and a holy card in my pocket every day at work. So I know for a fact that
St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Hey, today's the feast of St. Jerome, by the way. St. Jerome, pray for us.
Yes.
He's the one that said, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. Ruben, going back to traditionis custodis, guarding of tradition or custody of tradition, unfortunately, the document that the Holy Father put out, Pope Francis, it's not guarding the tradition of the Latin Mass, which goes at least 1,600 years. It's anything but guarding it. I think it would be more an appropriate description would be destroying the tradition of the Church. And this is what we want to talk about here. Father John Perricone, he's a professor of theology, and he celebrates the Latin Mass as well. I like the way he says in the first two sentences, he says, now that the dust has settled from traditionis custodis somewhat, it might be a good time to recall T.S. Eliot's Christianity and Culture, where he perceptively remarked, victories are never permanent and neither are defeats. Again, he was an Anglican, but he did possess a Catholic sense. And I think this is an insight that he says that all of us should have for this this post-traditionis custodis days. In other words, Ruben, just like everything, people move on, presidents move on, popes move on. And we've had other popes, again, in time past. I mean, Father talks about it. There's this one pope that suppressed the Jesuits, when the Jesuits were good, by the way. Okay, yeah. It was Pope Clement XIV. He wrote a document, a papal brief, where he suppressed the Jesuits. And 41 years later, another pope, Pope Pius VII in 1814, he basically restored the Jesuits. So we've seen this before in the past. And that's what he's saying. This is what Father Perricone is saying. Guys, okay, we're people of hope. We're optimistic. We know that things will go. In fact, that is the tradition of the Church. There's this old book from Tan. I've seen it in your library. It's called Catholic Prophecies. It's an old Tan book. It's a thin one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it quotes all the mystics.
By Yves DuPont.
Yes. Him. Mm-hmm. In there, he quotes several of the mystics and prophecies in times past, where it says, before the second coming of Christ, Reuben, we're going to get a holy pope, kind of like a St. Pius X, and the mystics tell us, and we're not talking about mystics that, you know, I'm a mystic and I've got a YouTube podcast now. Not those, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. The mystics tell us in the tradition of the Church that before the second coming of Christ, we're going to receive a holy pope that's going to restore all things in Christ and bring things back to the way they should be. So that's, again, when I read those mystics in that book, I say, yes, bring it on.
Yeah.
Because we have been infiltrated.
Most definitely. You know, when I first got wind of this, about what Pope Francis did, I couldn't help but think I was listening to Joe Biden saying "Build Back Better." You know, he has gotten he's so much strayed from what our tradition has taught us and all the mass of all time, the mass of all the popes, of all the saints, the usus antiquum. I just forgot
antiquor?
That antiquum.
Ursus antiquor.
Yeah. So. Usus antiquor, yeah, the ancient usage. You know, we have the mass in my opinion, the holiest saint of the 19th century, the 20th century was Pope Pius or Pope Pio, you know, Padre Pio, and it was interesting that he lived till 1968 when they were just introducing the new mass. It didn't become official till like 1970, but the Pope asked him to flip around. If you recall, his last mass, he was facing the people. He did it out of obedience, and so there's video that's circulating showing his last mass. And after that, he passed away. That was his last mass. And
wow,
it's kind of eerie that. The Lord said, "I'm gonna see fit to take you, so you don't have to go through all the shenanigans that are gonna go on for the next 50 years." And so, going back to my upbringing, you know, I was an altar boy in 1971, 72. So just the new mass had just started, and I was an altar boy there. I never was an altar boy. I made my first communion in the traditional Latin mass. But I was a product of the Novus Ordo Mass, and it wasn't until 1995 that I met a holy priest that's the only Mass he said, and it changed my life, Jesse. It was,
and I could tell because I remember the way you were living before, and after you encountered this priest, I just saw the changes that you started making. Yeah,
you can't help but being changed when the Mass changed me. It will change you.
Not that you're bad. You're just a secular humanist before.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
You know, I was like a lot of people: wine, women, and song. And you know, we work hard, so we got to play hard. But I had good input from you, Jesse. I saw you at the station, and the way you carried yourself. I saw. What I wanted as a young deputy is to be accepted and to get the respect of my peers. That meant a lot to me. You know, I mean, I know now that it's you got to look at a person's life and say, is that the way I want to live? And then take advice from them. Or if not, then I should be getting my advice from somebody else. And I would see you and, you know, talking to guys in the locker room or, you know, sitting at the desk, and you're always, you know, putting them in check basically on their faith. Cause we worked in an East LA station, which is predominantly Hispanic. So predominantly Catholic. And
yeah.
So you could do that. You know, you weren't telling them anything they shouldn't have been doing.
They're all Catholic schoolboys, most of them.
Yeah. And so you would check them, and so I would hear that, and I would see that from a distance, and I said, man, I like that, because you were getting respect, and that's what I wanted. But I was going about it the wrong way. I was going about it trying to hang out after work and throw back a six pack of Coors Light and just try to fit in, work hard, and I did do that, but secretly, I was saying, God, you know, I want what he has. And I didn't know about how to go about getting it until I was introduced to this holy priest. And, you know, that changed things.
Well, he sure flipped you around, that's for sure. Let me tell you my reflections on my experience as a Catholic growing up, trying to be faithful and obedient to Holy Mother Church. I probably would be classified, some people would probably say, okay, Jess is a neocon. What's a neocon? That's a Vatican II conservative. That's probably what people would say. So as I grew up, I've always had a high view of tradition, especially when I started getting into apologetics very early on. But I never made the connection that the Mass also has tradition. There's tradition in the Mass. I knew about tradition in other things, and I was able to argue that well, but I never made the tradition that the Mass had a tradition before 1965. I was just kind of blind to that. I never pondered the fact that there was a Mass before Vatican II. I do remember seeing my pictures of First Holy Communion. I received on my knees, on the tongue, on an altar rail. The tabernacle was in the center. I was born in 1961. I don't remember ever having gone to the Latin Mass as a kid. So far as I know, I've gone to Novus Ordo parishes all my life. But you really have to shop around and find a parish that celebrates the Novus Ordo Mass with reverence and piety, because that's not, again, that's not the norm that I've seen. But what we do know is what makes the Mass valid are the timeless words of Jesus Christ. This is the indispensable elements of Catholicism, the words of the Last Supper. So I did understand that. But now as I travel around the country as a Catholic speaker to give lectures about the faith, I am sad to see, Ruben, that there's a lack of uniformity from parish to parish, from diocese to diocese. That's not good. That's not good for the church. That's not good for anybody. I mean, this looks to me like diabolical disorientation. The sacred liturgy has been directly attacked by the evil one. We'll talk more about that on the flip side.
We'll be right back. Jesus 911.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Two-man car. You're seeing Jesse right next to me. He's not in his home state of Arizona. He's in studio, so it's been a blessing. Jesse was here last night talking about St. Michael and, the other saints, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, and it was a...
packed house.
Packed house, yes. It was a blue mass. It was in honor of law enforcement and, St. Michael's the patron saint of police officers and military. So it was really good. We had a holy mass, and I can't believe how...
And not only... Ruben, I'll tell you what, the gatherings like this, let's just be honest... You meet Catholics that are zealous to get to heaven, because not every Catholic is zealous to get to heaven. A lot of them, the majority are just lukewarm,
yeah,
and just completely indifferent to their salvation and their relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
What, as a result of this COVID cult and mafia and lockdown and scandemic and plandemic that we're going through, what's happening is the remnant, the remnant Catholic, they're drawing closer to Christ, and the ones that are lukewarm are drawing further from Christ. So there's a big divide.
Right.
The lukewarm Catholics are all in with the COVID mafia cult, but the ones that are all in for Jesus and all in for the church, this whole thing that we're going through right now, this scandemic, they're drawing closer to him. They're more zealous. And they realize that we are living in dangerous times, and we have to take custody of our soul and the souls of those that we love.
Yep. It's Jesse, you're talking about the law of a third. You know, you got the third that just aren't going to believe. They're lost. You got the other third that are lukewarm. They think they're saved. They think they're on track. But Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. And then you have the remnant, the zealous people, the people that are on fire for our Lord, the other third. And what we saw here last night, and it was true for me, I want to be around those people. I want the association.
It builds you up.
Oh, absolutely. You want to be a people with like mind, you know, and you need to, because we journey together. We're not supposed to be on an island and, shipwrecked. We're supposed to be helping others, you know, in their journey to live our life out here so that we can enjoy life with our Lord in the afterlife. So I want to be around people like-minded people.
And Ruben, no matter what persecution we're going through, and we are going through persecution, let's just be honest. It's a white martyrdom. Could be red, who knows? But the fact is, whatever we go through, it's going to be short. I mean, the average person lives, if you make a, if you live a complete life, you're blessed to get to 80. That's what Psalm 90 says. 80 is like, if you're really strong, you get to 80. So life is short. Heaven and eternal life, we can't even wrap our mind around that. So whatever we go through, know this, that when you compare it to eternity, it's only like a second of time. We can do it. Hold on to your faith. Clutch to your rosaries. Pray those rosaries. Fire off those 223 rounds downrange. Wear your sacramentals. Go to Mass as often as possible. Be holy. Do your morning prayers, midday prayers, evening prayers. Go to confession often. Don't be afraid of the Fauci's. I mean, the Fauci's and the Biden's and the CCP. What can they do to us? The worst that they can do is, Jesus says, they can kill us. That's the worst they can do to us. But only God has custody of our soul, not these guys. Yeah. No matter what they do to us.
Yeah. You kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. So, you know, we're in good company. We have to, I mean, look what the early Christians did, you know, and the martyrs in the Colosseum, what they had to put up with, you know, and they did it willingly. They gave up their lives for the truth. They gave up the life for the person of Jesus Christ. And we're called to do that as well. So we don't know how that's going to end. But we know that we're in some uncharted territory because of all that's going on globally. It's not just here in our wicked state of California.
I didn't say that, you did.
I could say that because, I mean, our governor just, you know, approved abortion and gender medication for children at 11 years of age without notifying their parents. It's demonic right here, Jesse.
Several popes have said that the reason we have evil in the world is because of lukewarm Catholics.
Mm.
Let me go back to the liturgy, because we'll talk about that in the third and fourth segment. Ruben, when I was ignorant about the rubrics of the sacred liturgy, I was bliss. I was just happy, you know, going to Mass. All of a sudden, I remember you started badgering me 25 years ago. Hey, check this out. Check out the Latin Mass. And I dabbled in it a few times, but I started consistently going when I went to Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, now that I've seen the differences clear, what you saw 25 years ago, mm-hmm. Now I see, wow, this is the reverence that's befitting to Almighty God. And it's the reverence that we used to have before I was born, before the modernists had their coming out party at Vatican II. And again, there are credible sources like Father Murr and many others that demonstrate that Archbishop Bonini, who was in charge of the sacred liturgy during the Second Vatican Council, was a Freemason. That's a secret society, an arch enemy of the church. And again, another question that I discovered from reading Michael Davies and other people 25 years ago is that six Protestants were invited as advisors during Vatican II.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's pretty obvious that their advice was what? To make our worship of Holy Mass horizontal, community-centered, more like a Happy Meal gathering, to make it amenable to Protestants. Before I was born, 75% of Catholics in America went to Holy Mass before Vatican II, 65. After Vatican II, 21% of Catholics were going to Mass. Right now, it's about down between 10 and 12% because of the COVID mafia cult. So I believe that the smoke of Satan has entered into the Catholic Church, as was told to us by Pope Paul VI after the council. He witnessed the aftermath of the council, and he was led to say this in the early 70s. I think what all of us want, Ruben, all of us just want to be part of a parish where the faith is lived well, where God is worshipped reverently, and this carries its own force of appeal, and it brings interior peace. It's difficult, to me, it's difficult in a lot of Catholics to have peace, interior peace, when you know that two out of three Catholic priests at a Novus Ordo parish voted for Joe Biden, who's destroying our country right now as we speak.
Wow, yeah. Well, Yeah, he's a Catholic. He'll tell you that he carries his rosary in his pocket, Jesse. You know, and
he says, did you hear the profane thing he said about the rosary? He said this: if anybody questions my Catholicism, I'm going to shove my rosary down your throat. Reuben,
oh my goodness.
In 2,000 years, I've never heard anybody make such a profane statement about the rosary. The rosary is a sacramental to be prayed. This is how we meditate and come in contact with our Lord and our Lady.
Yes.
For him to say, I'm going to shove my rosary down your throat, this goes to show you how malformed he is. He's the classic example. Him and Pelosi are the classic examples of post-Vatican II catechesis.
Yeah, he's stuck on himself, Jesse. He said, "Oh, I've been in Washington for 47 years, and he hasn't done anything but destroy, you know, our country. Everything he touches, he destroys." I'm getting away from what we're going. We're supposed to be talking about the mass, and you know, when Pope. Pope Benedict had issued his Summorum Pontificum. You know, a lot of us were saying, wow, that's great, man. We're going to be able to get a big movement of Catholic traditional Latin masses going everywhere. And
it started growing.
It was growing. It was just all over the world, and not just here, but everywhere. And as the author of this article we were discussing here, he says that it was like as Pentecost reversed Babel, you know, because when you go to the language of the people, the novus, you have people that are in other countries that have for years been able to go to the Latin Mass, and then if you did any traveling, you could pick up and go into any Catholic church, and you would understand what was going on because it was all uniform, and now it's all done in their own languages, so it was like Babel, you know, and you know, the Tower of Babel. And now we're seeing the renaissance of the traditional movement going, only to be stabbed in the back by this pontificate. And we have hope that a future pope is going to change this. We don't know how long it's going to be, because you know, this pope has, like 75% of the cardinals have been instituted by Pope Francis, you know, so they're going to be like-minded. But there's going to be someone that could just be awakened, you know. We've had bishops in the past that have just been silent, but now they're coming out. You're hearing more from, you were hearing from Cardinal Serra, you're hearing from Cardinal Burke and others.
Reuben, I'll tell you, I think this right now is the age of the laity. Fulton Sheen said back in the early 70s that the laity is going to save the church. It doesn't mean that we don't need the priest. That's not what he meant.
Mm-mm.
It means that lay people have to become active, and we have to hold our priests and bishops accountable. And one of the ways we're holding them accountable is by putting out information. How? Like this.
Mm-hmm.
Podcasts. These podcasts and different types of Catholic media run by lay people, 99% of this. And we're putting out information to help out other lay people, catechizing them, evangelizing them, teaching them apologetics, teaching them about the beauty of the Mass. And this way they can hold their pastors accountable, their bishops accountable, their diocese, saying, hey, what's with this clown Mass here?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's with, holding hands across like a human chain? Where's all this from? This is, so the good news is, the devil does use the internet for nefarious means. But the fact is, also the body of Christ, like this show and many others, Virgin Most Powerful, we're trying to use these social media to put out the truth of Jesus Christ and the Holy Catholic Church.
Yes, I have a number of friends that, you know, not on board with me with the traditional Latin Mass. They're, like you said, you've used this term, neocons. They're very, you know, reverent Novus Ordo Catholics and Orthodox Catholics.
Because they lack information. That's all, Reuben.
Yeah, you know, and it goes. I heard a statement once by Steve Jobs from Apple. He says, the late Steve Jobs. He said, "People don't know what they want until they know what's available, and they don't know what's available until someone makes them aware." So it's our job to make them aware that there is something better, something holy, something that they can take their families to, and not have their families lose their faith. and be destroyed. Because let's just be honest, the kids today are lost. This generation, the majority of them have no faith, and they buy into all this, all the politics of socialism and communism because they're not well formed. Anyway, Jesus 911, we'll be right back. We're going to pick up, we're going to be changing topics.
We're going to be talking to Hooker Carlson. He's going to be talking to us about the Benicle Mafia.
All right.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, two-man car. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Jesse, what do we got coming up?
Tucker Carlson's about to talk right now, and he's going to reveal how American leaders have become obsessed with worshiping Dr. Fauci, or should we call him Reverend Fauci? No, we're not going to call him Reverend Fauci. My wife calls him Fucci, not Fauci. I want you to hear Tucker Carlson talk about the cult of coronavirus with Joe Biden, who's his chief apostle of this new creed. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Is God dead? That's the question that Time Magazine famously asked way back in 1966 when Time Magazine mattered. The answer then and now is no, God is not dead. But a lot of the people who believed in him are dead, turns out. Not so long ago, this was an enthusiastically Christian country. As recently as 2009, 77% of Americans told pollsters they consider themselves to be believing Christians. Then in just 10 years over the course of the Obama administration, that number dropped by 12 points. Over the same period, the number of atheists and self-identified non-religious people in America jumped dramatically. And that was before COVID. Politicians used the pandemic across the country to close thousands of churches and throw Christians in prison for practicing their faith. Here was the scene, for example, last fall in Idaho, police arresting a congregation for singing hymns outdoors.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Trust in chariots and others trust in horses, but we recall the Lord our God.
Socially distanced hymn singing outside. So what exactly was these people's crimes? That tape will be studied by future generations of historians to try and figure out what was going on. What did these people do wrong? Well, they publicly affirmed their belief in a power higher than government. Not allowed. Fewer and fewer Americans do that or even think to. But that does not mean, and this is the critical point, that does not mean this has become a secular country. There are no secular countries, just as there are no secular people. Everybody believes in something. All of us are born with the need to worship. The question is what? So no, America's not lost its religion, it's just replaced its religion. What's dying is the faith that created Western civilization, Christianity. In its place is a new creed. And like all religions, it has its own sacraments, its own sacred texts. It's the cult of coronavirus. Kathy Hochul is one of the high priestesses of this new faith. She's the governor of New York. Now, no one voted for her as governor, and that seems odd for a politician.
She's worse than Cuomo.
But it's typical for a faith leader. No one voted for Jim Jones either. Yesterday, Kathy Hochul held her first service as the leader of the New York Diocese of the Corona Cult. Around her neck, she wore not a cross, that's yesterday's symbol, but instead a vaccination necklace. That necklace signified to the faithful gathered that Hochul has ascended to the select priesthood of those who have taken full intravenous communion. Listen to Bishop Hochul preach.
And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated, all of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones, but you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. You know this. You know who they are. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say, we owe this to each other. We love each other.
Is that a Protestant?
Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love? But to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live.
How do you show your love to one another? The old way was to visit people, say, in the hospital as they died. That's no longer allowed. The new way to show your love is to get the vax. God himself wants you to take the vaccine. I need you to be my apostles, Hochul thundered. No one comes to the Father except through the shot. Sinners in the hands of an angry healthcare worker. At the pulpit, Kathy Hochul, not super bright as you may have noticed, seemed suddenly transformed, a transfiguration, if you will. Standing there, she wasn't merely a mediocre, unelected governor of a dying state with bad weather. No. Hochul was the vaccine messiah, preaching the undying word of St. Anthony Fauci. Can I get an amen, ladies and gentlemen? Now, it may sound unlikely to those of you used to the older faiths, but many are joining this new church. And for $39 right now on Amazon, you too can buy a sterling silver necklace that declares that you have been vaccinated. Literally declares it. Just spells it out in cursive. Vaccinated. There's no mistaking what an incredibly good person you are. Everyone will see it. You can also buy vaccination bracelets and vaccination pins and vaccination earrings, vaccination shirts, vaccination socks. It's all at Kathy Hochul's church gift shop. Go there today. And while you're shopping, be certain to pick up a Tony Fauci prayer candle. In fact, get two. All good, decent people have more than one. For just $15 on Etsy, you can buy a patron saint of staying home prayer candle. That's a real thing. We read the reviews today. Here's one of them. Love it! Exclamation point. I think I may have to set up a little altar to place it on. Another exclamation point. There's a new convert. Here's another review from a woman called Kelly Hannon. Quote, I put this in my office. I work in public health, and this makes me smile every time I look at it. Of course it makes you smile, Kathy Hannon. Virtue is its own reward. Now, for those still making the tough transition from a traditional Western religion, a religion about God, to this new religion, which is not about God, it's really about you, and only you, and more of you, and you, you can pick up this masked nativity scene online. It looks conventional, but look closely. It features Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus all with their faces covered, as they should be even in a manger. They're masked, just like you are. In this religion of narcissism, the holiest figures look exactly like you do. That's the point. We'll reach back 2,000 years and change the appearance of historical figures to look exactly like the people in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. That's what this religion's about. And speaking of babies, you want to celebrate your children's baptism by vax by purchasing a sacred text to memorialize this moment. We recommend this age-appropriate Tony Fauci coloring book. This book promises, quote, hand-illustrated coloring pages starring your quarantine dreamboat. Not surprisingly, the reviews online are glowing. Everyone loves it, with one exception. Of course, there's always an apostate, the kind of person burning stakes were created for. Here's what that nasty non-believer said in the snarkiest possible way. Quote, there's a section at the back of the book where kids color numerous pages solid black to help Dr. Fauci cover up his involvement in the pandemic. Yeah, guess we know who to report to the religious police. For the rest of us, though, there are Tony Fauci pins, Tony Fauci mugs, Tony Fauci Christmas ornaments. There's a cornucopia of Fauciana. It's all part of the practice of this young but growing faith. Soon, the especially devout will set out on pilgrimages to Wuhan, China, where the very first miracle of pangolin-to-human transmission occurred. Some believe a visit to the wet market will heal them. And who are we to say that it won't? You're not going to hear Joe Biden doubting this new religion. Joe Biden is its chief apostle. He knows that the kingdom of Corona can exist right here on Earth and that it will endure forever. But first, everyone must convert. Every last person. This is an evangelical faith. It will be spread by the sword if necessary. Here was Joe Biden today.
How many Americans need to be vaccinated for us to go back to normal? Like, what is the percentage of total vaccinations that have to be deployed?
Well, I think, look, I think we get the vast majority, like it's going on in some industries and some schools, 97, 98%.
That's,
I think we're going awful close. And, but I'm not the scientist.
Look, it's the stage that they made him look like he was taking
one
the vaccine.
Thing for sure, a quarter of the country can't go unvaccinated. And that's not continuing to have a problem.
There he is, getting another shot, another. Why not? It's not just once a year. No, not for the devout. Some people take communion every day. Joe Biden would like to see everybody on board with this program. Everyone believing wholeheartedly in this new faith. He has called for 98% of the United States of America to convert.
Except
get
the White
those
House.
Shots. One, two, three, maybe every Sunday.
Right.
That's a lot. That's a big percentage of people. For context, according to the CDC, and we looked it up today, just 92% of American two-year-olds are vaccinated against polio. And some say polio is almost as bad as corona. But here's the difference. Fighting polio was never a religion. It was just science. The whole project was overseen by a logical little man called Jonas Salk. Jonas Salk did not wear a vaccine necklace. He created the vaccine, but it never occurred to him to make jewelry out of the cause. No one lit candles in Jonas Salk's name. Jonas Salk's job was to stamp out a disease. And he did that. It never occurred to him to start a cult.
All right. I think we're going to end it right there. So there you have it.
We'll comment on the next segment. This is a religion to the left. They've weaponized medicine against us. And you can see everything about this corona cult. It has all the affectations of religion. Mm-hmm. They've got their high priest, which is Fauci. They have their acolytes, Biden. They have their sacrament of salvation, which is the jab, the injection, the mRNA injection. They've got their choir, the Democrat Party. Something interesting, Ruben, there are certain people that are exempt from getting the jab.
Yeah.
The post office doesn't have to get the jab.
Yeah, yeah.
Senators, congressmen don't have to get the jab. Mm-hmm. There's a list of people that somebody sent me.
The White House staff.
Yeah, White House. Yeah. So what is it about these people? I guess the coronavirus sees somebody working for the post office and says, oh, got to get away from him. Because he's safe. He works for the post office.
Yeah. Well, the post office, a lot of those workers, they helped help the election.
They continue helping the Democrats win elections.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense that 600,000 postal workers do not need to get the jab.
Right.
We'll continue with this conversation. The corona cult. Jesus 911 two-man car. We'll be right back. Around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. What you see here is not your imagination. I can actually touch Jesse here. He's in studio.
Ruben,
a little buddy. Uh-oh.
Got you. Oh.
Mr. Engineer, I think we got something going on.
It's okay.
Yeah.
This is a brave Asian woman in a New York subway.
Yeah. Normalizing.
Subway advertised, and she's not going to have any of it.
I don't know why no one sees this.
She's ripping it off.
Because TV told them not to.
Brave, courageous.
Yeah.
Ruben, we need more people. Country around.
Yeah, we're going to need that. We're going to need to turn that country around. This idea, our freedoms are right now. Our freedoms are in jeopardy. Our freedoms in peril. So, Jesse, I've already decided that this is the hill I'm going to die on. My freedoms mean so
right?
much to me. This is the my freedom to practice my faith the way I want to practice it. The to be able to put one in my body what I determine needs to be in my body. Take care of my health. I don't need my government to tell me. To take care of my health. I just need them to protect my rights. Let me take care of my health. And it's going to get bad. You look across the country, you see what's happening. You saw in the Tucker Carlson video, people in Idaho were getting arrested for singing. outside at a church service. You see in Australia, people are getting taken in to custody because they've strayed a certain distance from their home. If they don't have a mask on or they're not vaccinated, you think that this is like a sci-fi picture that you're watching, you know, The Outer Limits but this is happening all across the world. But some people are getting woken up, and I think that's what's going to happen. There's going to be enough patriots that are going to, you know, they're going to draw the line in the sand, and they say, that's it. I'm done. That's where I'm at right now, Jesse.
You know, Ruben, government was instituted by God, but government's supposed to be at the service of the people.
That's right.
And that's where these guys have just completely, they've lost sight of why they were elected. It's a public service. They're public servants. They work for us. But right now they're trying to become our overlords. They're becoming very oppressive. And that's what happens when government gets too big, when it gets too bloated. The larger the government, the smaller the citizen. Tucker Carlson made some very good points that this whole cult of coronavirus has become like a religion.
Yeah.
Some of the things that he said that just jumped out at me, he says, politicians use the pandemic across the country to close thousands of churches and throw Christians in prison for practicing their faith. Again, there was a scene that we just saw right now where police were arresting people in the congregation for singing hymns outdoors. Ruben, I can imagine if you start singing hymns in Latin, they're really going to get triggered.
Yeah.
No! That's right. Yeah. And so I'm just asking the question here. I wonder if they're going to arrest Muslims for singing from their mosques.
I'm just
asking the question.
They're exempt from getting the vaccine. Did you know that?
Muslims are?
Yeah. I heard Muslims and Sikhs are exempt.
So they got a religious exemption.
Yeah.
So, unbelievable.
It's war on Christianity. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Another thing that Tucker Carlson said jumped out at me. He says, while they publicly affirm their belief in a power higher than government, that's not allowed. Fewer and fewer Americans do that or even think to do that. Mm. In other words, we're not allowed to affirm our belief in a power higher than the government. The buck stops with the government right now under Biden. By the way, for anybody that voted for Biden, do you got a stomachache right now? I mean, do you got buyer's regrets? And here's what happens. In theology, men and beast were created on the sixth day, the same day, men and beast. But men were made for the worship of God, for a relationship with God. The animals were not made with a rational soul for the worship, a covenant with God. We were. So what separates the man and the beast is we have a rational soul made for union and worship and adoration of God. If you never enter into that communion, that worship, that God is my Father, I am His Son, I am His subject, I am called to worship Him and honor Him. If you never encounter that, you will follow your own passions and you will act like a beast here on earth. This is what we have, Reuben, running our government. A bunch of apostate Catholics that are secular humanists. So once you abandon the notion of God, now you become like Lucifer. I will not serve. And you follow your own disordered passions and your own darkened intellect, and you start governing like a beast.
Right. These politicians, they stand by this vaccine and this whole movement as if it's a virtue. And you know, and they've woke this whole woke movement that anyone who tries to transgress this is seen as an outsider. And you'll hear them say, well, you know what, then I hope they die. You know, that's what it's come to. And you see nurses and police and firemen, many of them losing their job because they won't take the vaccine. I reached just the other day. Yeah, it was yesterday. You know, I have just a part-time security job at the Orange County Diocese, Diocese of Orange. They came out with a mandate that everyone has to be vaccinated let me take that back. They have to acknowledge whether they're vaccinated or not. And if they're not, then they have to get tested before they come to work and be masked up. And I said, I won't be masked. I'm not going to wear masks. I'm done. I'm refused to do it. And so I said, look, I'm resigning because I haven't worked there. I haven't put in very, very many hours, but, I'm resigned because I said, no, this is the church. And they're telling us that, you know, the right thing to do is to be vaccinated because otherwise they wouldn't have me being tested every day when I come in. And the other thing too, I don't know if you heard this, Jesse, but Archbishop Gomez here, he's telling his seminarians that they must be vaccinated. And so some people are already thinking and are leaving the seminary. And we don't have enough priests as it is.
The largest diocese in the U.S., and you're running out probably, I don't know, a dozen, two dozen young men that want to give their life to Christ in service of the church because Archbishop Gomez is acting more like a politician, like a medical doctor, which he's not, than he is a shepherd. By the way, you don't have to listen to a bishop or the pope when it comes to medical advice or when it comes to science. You can debate them. They don't know more than you do. Okay, it depends what they read or what you read. The fact is, that's not their expertise. So as Catholics, we have to follow our well-formed conscience, and we have to realize that, again, Ruben, there's too much controversy around the vaccine.
Yeah.
You got too many doctors that don't work for the government. Here's that's the key.
Yeah.
When they don't work for the government, all of a sudden, Ruben, they're going deep into what's in the vaccine, why you shouldn't take it. Who are the apologists for the vaccine? Those that get a government paycheck. So you notice the way it just divides. If you're getting paid by Uncle Sam, you're going to say whatever Uncle Sam tells you to say because, again, Pope Fauci.
Yep.
If you're not working for Uncle Sam and you're a private doctor, you use your own ability to study and your own understanding of virology. And those are the ones that are warning us. These are the whistleblowers, Ruben. Right. And I'm thankful that they're out there.
Yeah. And so you got to know where you're getting your information. You've got to research it, look for it because it's out there. Yeah. But you can't just rely on getting things from the mainstream media because they're lying to you. So it's a decision you have to make, and we're gonna fight this. It's gonna get worse before it gets better, Jesse, and it's gonna end up wind its way through the courts. There's no doubt because people are their livelihoods are at stake here. They're losing their job. And so if you're vaccinated and you can still you can still get sick and you can still transmit the disease, how come they're not losing their job? You know, and if the vaccine works, then what are you worried about whether I get it or not? Because you're safe, right? You're safe, supposedly.
Ruben, one of the things that we do know is that the Bible says in 1 John 5:19, the Satan controls the world. He's in charge of the world. The Catechism tells us that he maneuvers through politics. Father Amorth, rest in peace, the Rome's exorcist, he says that Satan specifically likes to use politicians. Why? Because he can manipulate them and he can maximize damage in society when he goes after a politician. And so, in fact, he actually says the devil loves to take over those who hold political office. Just let me tell you, if you live in mortal sin, the teachings of Catholic exorcists are just one unrepentant, unconfessed mortal sin. You invite a demon into your life. What's the goal of us as Catholics communing with God? A relationship with God. When you live in mortal sin, guess what happens? You're separated from God. He's out of the picture. Now you've invited a demon into your life. You're having a relationship with a demon, whether you know this or not.
That's true. But people, they just want to live in fantasy. They think, oh, I'm good. You know, I've been a nice guy. I don't cheat on my taxes. you know, I should be going to heaven. And they don't realize that we're called to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, you know. And if suffering comes our way, you know,
it's here.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so we're the contradiction, you know. Jesus called us to be that contradiction to the world and to push back. So you, like I said, this is the hill I'm going to die on. I've drawn my line in the sand, and you know, we may even disagree with family members, you know, and it's going to cause that division in the family.
That's right.
But we choose Jesus. Faith That's over right. fear.
Amen. Yeah, faith over fear. We're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Yeah.
And the only vax you're going to hear us pushing on VMPR is called the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the vax that we all need. And the only virus that I'm really afraid of, it's called sin. Because my body, my heart's going to stop one day. I'm not afraid of any virus. My heart's going to stop. But I am afraid of the virus called sin. I don't want to offend God. And so as Catholics, get the vax as often as possible. It's called the Holy Eucharist, the sacrament of confession. That's the remedy. That's the vaccination for our souls.
The medicine of immortality. You've been listening to Jesus 911, two-man car. Stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mishuda from the Midwest Command Center. We are 10-7.